What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another OG3 brought to you by the Off the Ball Network. As always, I'm joined by my guy Mo and Jeff Fellows. What's going on?
Nothing much, man. Great Sunday, man. Beautiful day. Beautiful day.
It is not a beautiful day in New York, so
yeah, it's beautiful. Cold.
Over it. I can't wait for the spring. When is it? Spring ends, I think, in March, right? Sometime. Right?
Yeah, like 20 more days. It was pretty nice here. The sun came out, got out, and enjoyed a little bit. Got some warmth, so yeah.
Yeah, I'm over it. I need the sun to come out, and I'm over it. I'm over it. My back hurts, knees hurt, and all that, but we're back with another episode, OG3. We took the week off. We took the week off last week. We back. We got a lot to talk about. I want to talk about this one thing. We're going to get right into it. The storm in the court. Okay. This has been a little hot topic and all that. Obviously, if you saw what happened yesterday, Wake Forest, they defeated Duke. And, you know, when poverty teams beat big schools, they tend to do this. They stormed the court, you know? And it was instant. Like, and a lot of people like, oh, the player should have got out. I was like, it was like 0.2 seconds before any player can do anything and all that. And Duke's All-American, you know, Kyle Filipowski got hurt and all. He sprained his knee, you know. So, I mean, it's bad, but it's not as bad as it could have been and all that. But I've been someone who's never like this. I think it is so stupid. It's borderline illegal, because if you do this in any other sport besides college sports, you go to jail. You simply go to jail. And all this, and the excuses people make. Oh, there's not enough cops. What are you supposed to do? Oh, yeah. So because not enough cops, you're allowed to loot and riot and all that. That's okay. But I'm just trying to think. You know, this is what bothers me. Like, that excuse. Oh, there's not enough. But this is called policing. You know. That's
why. Oh my god.
That I think it's absolutely ridiculous. I always thought it's not because my team got it. Because that's all I went. Oh no, you're just mad because Duke lost and all. I was like, no. I've been saying this. It's ridiculous and all that. Because if you go to Madison Square Garden, if St. John's beats UConn, guess what's not happening? Storming the court will not happen. But in college, it's acceptable.
Who cares?
Who cares? You should care. This is ridiculous. It's just ridiculous.
I can't stand it.
I've always thought it's ridiculous. I can't stand it. It's stupid. And it's college. Oh, yeah, there's a bunch of drunk little white kids that can do it, and it's okay. But I'm just saying.
Here's what gets me about it. And we'll come up with some guidelines here in a minute. But, like, why are we storming the court on a regular season conference game at your house?
It just
what did it mean? You beat Duke.
It's college.
Yo, okay. So I'm from the other side of this.
It doesn't mean anything.
Ohio State stormed the court at home when they beat Iowa. And Ohio State women's basketball team is number 2 in the country right now. And they storm the court when they beat Iowa.
Man, they like, shut.
What are you storming the court for?
You know why? The image, man. ESPN wanted that to happen if Ohio State. They was already prepared for that. You know why? Because the image of being able to beat the queen, man. She was the hottest thing. She's the hottest thing smoking in college basketball right now. Ohio State at the time was underrated, one of the best teams in the country, and nobody was talking about them.
We can storm the court now because we
don't have the star.
National media has you underrated.
Yeah. No. I think so. You don't think some of these broadcasts have something to do with that? You don't think ESPN wants?
I think they absolutely do. I think they basically tell them to do it.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So like, what are we storming the court for? But like, if ESPN's like, we want that image, like it would be Ohio State, the underrated. Like nobody, they were quietly.
But you said
like,
underrated.
No,
they're because good. They were really good, and they won.
But to the casual fan, when you're talking about, especially now, no, because women's what college basketball. Right now, women's college basketball is probably the best sport to watch if you actually sit down and watch it from a competitive standpoint, from the stars actually standing out and giving you elite performances from a night.
Not really. Just one star. Yeah, I don't think
so. No. There's more than
there's one star.
There's more than one star. We're not doing there's that. Either way, I'm not getting into it.
That's it. It's two.
There's a few, man. You ain't been watching if you're – but either way, that's not the point. But what I'm saying is they were like – quietly fifth because they don't have that star. LSU has that star. So then they come in here, swoop, and got the attention of the whole world by beating Caitlin Clark. Man, yeah, the ESPN wants them.
Here's my first rule I'm putting down. There are certain schools that can never storm a court or a field.
Ohio State.
Ohio State in any sport. can never storm a quarter of a field. They're Ohio State can never be a big enough underdog to storm a field.
That's embarrassing.
That's embarrassing.
I could see if you say that in football.
No,
outside any sport. Of like a national championship.
You're too big of a brand. You can't be storming the court for Ohio State.
Bro, the women's college basketball team plays in like one of the biggest arenas, indoor arenas in the country.
What I'm saying,
they're not the poor little
storming Ohio the court State. Is for little ass schools that are always trash in every sport.
Yes.
Wake Forest.
Nobody
when
on
when earth you're never is good when you're never good
at Ohio State beat Iowa. Nobody's going to remember that in 10 years. Nobody's going to remember it. Great game, but nobody's going to remember that.
Nobody's going to remember that. It's ridiculous. It's just
Ohio State's better than Iowa. If nothing, Ohio State's better than Iowa. Like, how can you storm the court?
Because, man.
And here's my thing about
storming the court. Is not the reason.
I said the image.
Wait till the players get off the floor, then. You got to let the players get off the floor.
The net works. That's all I'm saying.
I'm agreeing. It's terrible.
Stupid.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay, so here's a couple.
It's just ridiculous.
Here's a couple of my rules.
Wait till the players get off the court. That's it. If you want
to, players got to be off the court. Because here's the thing: if I'm on the court and I lose a game like that, and you're out there, I'm gonna do just like old boy from Duke. I'm gonna try and take someone's head off because I'm gonna be emotional. I'm gonna be sweaty. Like somebody's getting knocked the fuck out. But let's so number one rule: players got to be off the court. Number two, it can't be a regular season game that doesn't determine anything. Like it has to mean something. And
Jeff, that's the only way you're going
to
do it
because you can't do it in conference tournaments. Yeah, you have to be not just an underdog. Like you have to be We're talking like miracle on ice shit to be storming a court.
Quinnipiac, something like that. Like you got to be like a no-name school.
I might allow it.
Michigan in football type stuff. Like
let me tell you, it's
a storm in the field type situation. Like when App State beat Michigan in football.
Absolutely. Or whenever Ohio State has never lost, to an Ohio college ever. Or it's been whatever 100 years or whatever. If OU beats Ohio State, you can storm the field. Have at it. Enjoy. Have a good day. Like it's got to be shit like that. It's got to be once in a lifetime shit for the kids going to school there. If that's who's
going party court, after,
it's got to be. After. There ain't no way that anybody cared last night that Wake Forest beat Duke. Like they're like, okay, Duke lost. It's still fine. They're gonna be in tournament. It's fine. Like it didn't change a season. Like you also have to like ruin somebody's season. Like you have to ruin somebody's season.
I don't mind it, bro.
Like,
that's fine. Okay,
I don't mind it.
If you're gonna storm there, just walk out casually. Just be cool.
I liked it in high
school. Imagine at any point at your job, and you just had a really bad day, and just 100 people come in. Are you gonna feel some type of way? You're gonna be like, why are there so many? Just imagine you just lost a basketball game, and 10,000 people are rushing you, and we're expecting them to be cool and all that.
But to your point and what you just said at your job, right, on your worst day when everything's going wrong, the expectation is still to be a professional and be cool and handle your job.
10,000 people coming at you, full force.
The expectation on your
expectation. Well, guess what? There's 3,000 people coming at me. I'm sorry. Expectation, get this shit out of
my face. Imagine you stop at a stoplight and you're having a bad day and somebody gets in your car. You're going to just be like, I'm just going to be cool.
I'm a pro.
I'm just going to be cool.
No, bro. And that's one person. Now just imagine 10,000
idiots. They need to keep these folks. They got no business on the playing field.
No.
None.
You can't do it in the NBA. Can't do it in the NFL. You can't do it in soccer. You can't do it in any other nothing. Any upset. Pistons fans can't storm the court when they beat the Minnesota Timberwolves, number one team. They can't do that. They don't storm the court because it's just like, all right, you just don't do that, you know? So it's ridiculous. It's stupid. It's just stupid. But it's college, so you're allowed to do it. So
high school.
And until a bunch of fans get knocked out, and now it's like, how could you do that to the fans? Well, why'd you get on the court? You're not supposed to. And you're not supposed to. You get fined.
Here's what I can tell you, though.
Universities will rightfully – they don't care about paying that fine. They love it.
Yeah, they do. The last time in college football, they played. Oh, yeah. We can't be having this happen too much because it's ridiculous.
Too much. But ask the athletic director of Wake Forest if he care about paying that fine for that.
Yeah, I guarantee he cares.
And with
He complained about it.
You know how many eyes, man, he did.
He's like, yeah, this needs to stop because this is not what we want. They don't want this. Did not want that.
He did what he needed to do publicly because a star player got hurt. Take away the star player. He don't say that. He don't have that statement. But the star player.
Because guess what? Star player got hurt, so you can't take it away.
No, but I'm saying you have to say that. But he don't feel that. Wait. Behind.
You don't know that.
Bro, behind those doors, he's gladly paying that fine.
Let me tell you this, though.
No athletic director gladly wants to pay a six-figure fine.
They just was talking about it earlier. A lot of reporters was literally just talking about it earlier, putting out that like a lot of universities do not mind paying that fine for that because of the image that it gives. It gives that pride. It gives a great image. It's like, so they don't mind. The fine ain't that hefty. They ain't getting $5 million of dollars. It ain't that hefty. It ain't killing a university that's bringing in billions. It ain't killing a conference that's bringing in billions of dollars a year. A $500,000 fine ain't killing none of them. It ain't coming dead out their pocket. Like, they're not worried about them fines, bro. They don't.
Well, let me tell you what, though.
I'm going to say publicly to not be villainized. You can't just come out as athletic director and be like, man, F it. I'll pay the fine. I don't care. We will storm the court after I have a victory. Like, you can't be that guy and say that publicly. Even if you feel like that behind closed doors, like, you still, as an athlete.
Wait a minute.
Not care.
Let's dig into this a little bit. Wake Forest is 18-9, and they're storming the court.
Exactly.
They got three less wins than Duke, and they're storming the court.
They're a tournament team, Jeff.
Let me tell you what happened, too, though. They heard a white boy from Duke. This shit's over. Like, there will be sanctions this week about storming the court. I'm just saying, like, we thought, like, Caitlin Clark got hurt. Hey, like, we thought that was it.
Bro, like, if dude didn't get
18-9 basketball team that's making the tournament.
An 18-9 basketball team
storming All-American on their team, and they're storming the court. Yeah,
nah.
That's pathetic. That's sad.
But the whole,
it's actually, the whole, that makes it worse.
Just take your ass home.
But you're weighing the team, though, like, as if the fans understand that 18-9 and we're going to make the tournament and we have an
all. That's on them.
They don't understand that.
It's called standards, but when you're a poverty college, you do that.
Y'all are speaking from like we're fans of like elite programs in their respective sports. So like you don't feel like as a fan there's ever a need for your team to do that.
No, they stormed the court because one person said, let's storm the court.
And everybody follow when you're poverty all the time and you do catch a win and beat a Duke.
Wake Forest isn't poverty.
Man, in basketball, they
– No, they're not poverty.
Jeff, I'm going to be honest, Jeff. They've been since Chris Paul. They ain't been good.
That's fair.
They ain't been good. Like, I know the Chris Paul and Wake Forest. I know that there was a time when they was good. There was a time when they was really good in basketball.
I'm saying they're not Vanderbilt.
Man, Jeff, they ain't too far from it. They right. not too far from it, Jeff. They bad.
You can't be storming the court when you got a good team.
They're a school in North Carolina.
Okay, but so here's the turnaround that I don't like. So we'll say Wake Forest plays. We'll say they got Pitt again. Let's say they play a bad ACC team soon, and that team wins. Did they storm the court versus Wake Forest?
Is Wake Forest ranked?
It sounds ridiculous.
Like, is right.
Might be after.
I don't care about rankings in college basketball.
That's what matters, though. The aspect of the ranking is what made Wake Forest fans think it was a bigger win than what it really was.
Wake Forest fans need to go home.
The number next to Duke is what brought the awareness of, like, oh, this is a huge victory for us. Right. They got a number next to them. We don't. So, as fans, and then think about it. Especially at colleges, we know what's crazy? Most of the diehard fans, and I mean diehard fans that attend the games, the college kids, they don't really know the sport.
I totally agree.
They're there because that's the thing. I attend this university. So they don't fully understand the atmosphere as far as I know the game perspective. I understand how big this win is. They don't. And what then that they understand what the national media pitches them leading up to that Saturday, and they understand what it after that Saturday.
Totally agree.
What's going on? So unless you're going to put sanctions on it, you can't necessarily prevent it because, bro, majority of the people that have put money in your pockets, these fans that are doing this, all the fans, they don't fully understand the sport. They're just there to
be. I totally agree. They need to take their dumb ass home. Like, go to the game, enjoy it, have a victory. You leave and go to whatever local bars, clubs, do you
like in any other funneling, sport?
You be, yeah, like just you be funneling beers, like, you know, on whatever street you live on. Like, have a great time, enjoy it, be crazy in the streets, climb a light pole, you know what I mean? But like, just stay off the court. No, and you ain't got no play, fans ain't got no business on a court,
just like in field, the NFL,
especially NBA. Today's age, man. Don't be, you can't be messing around with being weird. Hey.
Like, what happens when your team wins? When the Cowboys win, what do people do after the game? They don't storm the field.
Yeah, just
they
go get drunk.
They go get loaded at a local pub, bar, whatever, and they get drunk over there. No, you don't storm the court.
What I'm saying is, like
rebuild the stadiums.
No, like what I'm saying is, like in a high school stadiums. No, but I'm saying, like in a high school game, like let if you give 5 minutes. The other team's gone. Then you can file onto the court. You have a party. I'm not saying you can't ever be, but the storm in the court has to stop.
So that's what
they're going to do. I'm going to mark it down here that Jeff said they're going to put a time limit from the final zero. There will be a time limit to where if anybody steps on that court, they're in trouble. That's what they're going to do. I said it here first.
It's wild to me that Chris feels so strongly about the fans' access to players. My thing is, remodel these gymnasiums then and set them up the same way. I won't say professional NBA because there's courtside seats, right? So you can't prevent access to the players. But at the same time, like, Chris, you are a Duke fan. Like, you are a fan of a team that literally can hover over a player inbounding the ball. But like, storming the court is where you draw the line. Like, then
I think that's stupid too.
Like, remodel the stadium.
I think that's ridiculous too. Everybody
praised across the, like, remodel the stadium so then they can't be this close to the athletes, period. Like any, like most other sports except the NBA.
I can't control that. I can't tell them. That's fair. I don't like the Duke, the thing they do with the play. I don't like that either.
But like the NBA,
stop doing that.
The NBA used to be like, even when it was like courtside and even with the photographers, go look at the sidelines outside of a Jordan, Chicago Bulls Jordan game. Go look at the sidelines away of how the fans, photographers, and celebrities had access to the players. It was still, they didn't have as much access. Now, they try to make so much money. There are so many seats so close to the court. And the NBA has now turned into entertainment of like WWF style as far as giving everything they want to the
fans. That's fine. Just behave yourself. Just stay off the court. All you got to do is stay off the court. That's it.
Seats, but like they know
be that hard. Like it's
the
just
NBA holds the standard with professionals. Like it's still, these are pros though. Like these are still.
But my biggest problem is when you storm the court. Like Mo, that's a great example. Like if you're a Division II school and you beat Duke, I understand your.
I'll understand that more.
A mid-season, you know, decent game between two, you know, a good team and a decent team that ain't storming the court. And but I said, like High State. High State shouldn't have stormed the court versus Iowa just because Caitlin Clark plays for them. They ain't that good.
Does anybody care though if he doesn't get hurt? Like it just becomes another highlight.
The whole problem is it's only a matter of time.
It's exactly. Like we've been waiting for this.
You're putting the players in a position to like. What's going to happen is eventually a player is going to be like, all right. And he's going to, a man or woman is going to knock somebody clean the fuck out. And then it's going to be over. That player is going to be like, blah, 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 blah. Like, they'll just stay off the court. Stay off the court. If I lose in the driveway to my son, don't talk to me for at least 45 seconds.
Exactly. You're expecting college kids after a loss like that. To think rationally.
And to me, it's also like saying we suck. Like if you storm the court, you say we're not that. We don't think we're that good.
Well, yeah, we're a poverty.
Like, I'll be damned if you ever see me storm a
court. Because like you said, there's certain schools like
your team's not that
UConn,
good.
UConn's not storming the court even if they had a bad year. UConn basketball team, they're not storming the court even if they're 3-30 right now. Duke's not doing it on their worst season. Duke, they're not storming the court.
You can't.
Carolina. You just there's standards. Like, no, we don't.
Alabama
football is not storming the court. No. Same in the field if they go 0-12 and they beat Georgia. They're not storming the field. It's like, all right, we suck, but we don't do that. There's just standards. But
stay out the court, stay out the field. Unless you're playing. And again, a few minutes later, go out and have a good time. Chill out. I'm sure you got friends on the team. Man, you want to jump into the hedges. all them girls with dresses above their head for make sure you wear your bloomers, all that shit. Just give them a couple minutes to cool off and go to the locker room and get out the way. That's all I'm saying.
That's fair, but that's my rant on storming the car. I think
that was fun. I'm glad we did that.
Yeah, but sticking on with college.
Okay,
football.
Mo, I got one more. When would Mo storm a court? Like when would you be like, I'm going half-time. On that court?
Half-time. I'm
not that type of fan. Like I'm not doing it just because I'm just not that type of fan. But I get those type of fans.
When is it okay?
Man, in a big win, like it's I don't know, like
in, what's a big? That's what I'm saying. What's
the high school and college level, man? I think storming the court is just
high school's a little different.
I think college is almost it's close to the same as how you weigh it with high school, though. I think it's close to the same, like how you weigh it with high school, man. It's very similar. Like you're taught of like the pride you're supposed to have pride in the school that you attend.
They got nothing to do with storming the court. You can stand there and cheer all you want.
But that's it's been the image for high school and college for so long, though. Like the storm in the court, it's like an image.
So thing. My problem is, if you have pride in your team, you actually don't storm the court. Like I would be like, yeah, we knew we were going to beat your ass. Go home,
man. Jeff.
You know what I like? You know what I like that this is replaced and deleted. Storm in the court is just the classic singing the hey goodbye song. That's cold-blooded, and yet everybody's safe, everybody's in the fans, and you're still needling the team that you just beat. Like, I like shit like that.
The classic is if you get the entire stadium to get out their keys and start shaking them and tell them to warm up the bus.
There you go.
Like that. There's other ways. Get up out of there. Like I remember that back in high school, they start pulling out them keys. You just smile like you. Woof.
Yep. See, that's fine. I don't want somebody getting hurt on either side of this. Like, it's not the right time. Anyway, I like it. What you drinking, Mo? What you got?
Man, my wife got a little wine. You know, it was our 8-year anniversary. We celebrated. She had got this little wine, so I was sipping on it. I stopped drinking, so
you must have done something right. You didn't even make it through the whole bottle. You got some left over. I see you.
Oh yeah, nah, man. Yeah.
we didn't have time to finish that bottle.
I don't really drink no more, so the wine is like I was like, okay, yeah, I'll sip on some wine, but yeah, I stopped drinking. So
my wife buys me this stuff. She calls it my getting white boy drunk. So she buys me this like it's like a white Merlot. So it's like a blend of like light and dark wines. she calls it my white boy wine.
Yeah,
because I can't take the good shit. I don't love it, but I like that in between.
Yeah, it looked like apple juice, but it's like 16.9% alcohol, so it's like stronger than normal wine. Like, yeah, not expensive either.
Mo's gonna drink that when Mahal.
Oh no, there's at
Mo's
least
gonna,
50%
Mo's gonna storm the field by himself. You can see Mo in the field. And he's waiting for everybody. No, oh damn. Oh yeah, we don't do that here. Oh yeah.
I wouldn't storm the field, man. I wouldn't storm the field because I don't want to be that close to anybody else. Like I don't want that many people.
I don't want to be around people too, yeah. Like that too.
That's me as just a person. Like I'm not going down there because I know. Like to me, I look down there as like a fan, and I see all these people running down there. I'm like, man, that's just.
Oh yeah, I totally agree. Like, with that.
Like, anxiety and somebody getting punched and elbowed in the face.
Yeah, you're gonna get elbowed. You're gonna get something's gonna happen just to you.
Likely, bro. Like me, the type of person I am, like attending a game. I'm not going to be like, oh, I first off, I don't wear expensive stuff, but like, I'm not even going to have the type of shoes that I think I could go down there in. Like, I'm not going to a game in no dirty shoes that I could store. I'm not going to be that type of fan. The guys that paint and where they, oh, you know, man, listen, no offense, Jeff, but you know, them white boys, especially them college ones, they got the khaki shorts. They got the dry fit.
The January 6th is on.
Nah, they got the dirty white Air Force Ones, man. They just dirty. And then they go storm the court. They don't mind. Yep. They walk around. Holy
they ain't worried about getting arrested.
White Air Forces, but they will throw on a polo khaki in the dirtiest of white Air Forces, tied all the way, pulled shoestrings, dirty as hell. But like, and guess what? Those dudes got a couple beers in their hand, and they the ones that get the girls. They get all the other white girls because they don't care about the shoes. And you at the game like a dummy in some Jordans, can't really have the good time. You're not reading the moment here, like. You know, I know from experience, but you know, you're not really reading the moment. You're like, dang, I ain't even look at this dude. Look at his shoes.
That is, I guess, that is part of my problem. Because like, when I see him storm the court, I'm like, man, y'all just don't look that cool. Like, I think that's part of it, where I'm just like, man, that don't look cool.
A lot of mayonnaise.
That's a good point. I think we got to the bottom of it. Them dudes just don't look cool.
Yeah, they don't look cool.
Yeah, I don't need them girls out there running around screaming either. Like, just everybody just go home. Just take your ass out. Just take your ass home.
Yeah.
So, and enjoy it. Go enjoy it for the next 8 hours. Like
old men, man.
Nah.
Get off our lawn.
No, I'm telling them to go have fun. Quit being a follower. Go have fun. Enjoy it.
We'll stay on some college football talk and, you know, some kind of big news. We kind of been waiting for it for some fans who are big into, you know, video games and stuff. NCAA football is making its return officially, I think, this summer. You know, hasn't been around since, I think, NCAA 14 was the last game. But
wow, is that what it's been? 10 years.
Yeah, it's been over 10 years, obviously.
Ed O'Bannon. When are we going to do a documentary about Ed O'Bannon changing the world?
Yeah.
Like, Ed O'Bannon changed the face of college sports because he was the one dude that was like, man, this is messed up. And that was it. It's all Ed O'Bannon had to do is like, this is really messed up. And we got a different world. Speaking of which, good basketball player. That's a great team. You guys probably
UCLA
probably
team, don't know much UCLA about that. Team, UCLA team. Another dying brand.
Yeah.
You know, that's another one that's just.
Oh, they'd be storming the court soon.
Yeah. Like them in Indiana basketball and, you know, I'll bring them up later, Noah. But it's coming back, and like a lot of people are talking about the incentives for players now. They can opt in for their name, image, and likeness, and they're getting $600. Plus the game itself, and if you know how much games are nowadays, actually not a bad deal because some of these.
Basically, you're getting $700.
You're essentially probably getting $700 because there's three different versions of each game. Like, there's the regular version. There's
and you're getting it early. You're gonna get it like 2 weeks before they even release the early version.
Yeah, maybe earlier than that. You know, if you're in the game.
Like, y'all about to have the game, bro. The game's ready to go. Like, y'all about to have the game. Their team, the game's ready to go. Y'all about that?
Well, a lot of people are mad that the players aren't getting enough of
11. What is it? I believe the numbers are 11,000 players, $600 a piece. So it's EA Sports putting out something basically like $6.6 million.
Yeah. So that's and everyone's you know.
And if we'd done this 20 years ago, we wouldn't be in this position.
Yeah. So do you guys think that that's a low number for players to get, or is that a right number for players to get?
Listen, okay. I'm going to just go on my little tangent real quick. Y'all stay with me and follow me. That is enough. Because here's the thing. They give you an option. If it's not enough for you,
say no.
Then say no.
Yep.
But I'm going to tell you, there are no more passionate fans, like, and I mean this as an overall sport, like fan bases than college fans, because a lot of times your attachment to colleges, a lot of times it's through like family. It's like you love where you grew up or my whole family's from here or it's a moment that you attach to or you were born into it or whatever when it comes to college, especially being from the South or even the Midwest where like they breathe like college football. You want to be that player that's not able to play. You want to be that star player, Travion Henderson. You want to be that guy to not take the $600. We know, bro, you're getting probably $1 million everywhere else from all these other places. But you want to be that guy that young kid that loves going to Ohio State games. His dad takes him to every home game. They got season tickets. You're his favorite player. He'd love to meet you. He couldn't wait to play with you in the game because you don't think $600 is enough. I think that's crazy to me. Like, because you can say no, but you want to be the guy to say no. And especially, I'm going to be honest, Travis Hunter has already opted in. And I know he's endorsing the game, so he's going to get more money. He's a brand ambassador. Travis Hunter is arguably one of the three or four biggest stars in college football. At this point, if he opts in, everybody else got to follow. When one of those guys opt in, when them dudes opt in, you got to go. Just like the NBA bubble. When everybody look. All the stories about how they came to play basketball, everybody from all these other teams said, man, we was waiting on what the Lakers was going to do. We was waiting on what LeBron was going to do. If LeBron was going to play, we was all playing. Because if that guy is going to play, we all going to play. So if that guy is going to opt into this game, the superstar, the dude making millions of dollars at NIL does, if him and Shador and a couple of those other guys are going to be in those ambassadors, you ain't got no reason not to. $600 is enough. They're giving you a free game. Bro, I think just giving the game for free if you opt in is enough. You want me to be honest, bro? Because, like, now how goofy you look as a college athlete that's supposed to be in the game. You're the starting center for University of Texas San Antonio. You're supposed to be in the game with a free copy, but $600 wasn't enough. So now you got to go buy the game on the PlayStation store just like us regular folks like me. So where do you win at? You don't take the $600 and you got to go spend the $75 to go get the game. So now you lose anyway. You're going to spend money on the game unless you're a person that's just like, man, I don't play the game. I don't want to play the game. I have no interest. But I still think even in that, I'd be like, man, it'd be cool to be in the game. Even if I'm not a gamer, being a guy on a team, I'd love to be in the game. But, like, you'll have to pay for the game if you don't opt in. That's crazy to me. I'm opting in just off that. I ain't paying for the game.
Yeah.
Why am I paying for a game I'm in? That's stupid. I'll just opt in. Who cares?
No, I agree. Here's my whole point. And you said it best when you said they're offering you money and you can take it or leave it. So, like, I don't care, like, whether I think it's enough, whether it is enough, whether it's too much, whether I don't even care. As long as here's the offer. You can say yes or no. That's all I ever asked for in college sports. Like, I never asked for, like, these players to make, you know, $80,000 a year. I simply said, you got to give them a choice. So they got a choice to be in the game. I totally agree with you. I can't imagine saying no. You know what I mean? Especially for the first one ever. And I know that, you know, somebody is and whatever. But here's what I like. Somebody has the choice to say no. Like, they can be like, nope. And for whatever reason, whether good, bad, or indifferent. So, yeah, I don't really have a problem with the amount. I don't really think there's a better way to do it, considering 95% of these players, people don't know 95% of the names, and that's not being disrespectful. I'm just, there's 11,000 players. Like,
and it's constant change. It's always changed.
And on top of that, when you think about it, this is probably, there's two highly anticipated games that I would think probably make close to $1 billion in game sales. And it's this NCAA and Grand Theft Auto 6. But when you're, before you actually, let's say they're like, man, we want to give guys $5,000. But in the first year, we don't want to do that.
Right.
What if this game doesn't do what everybody projects it to do? We expect this to be like one of the biggest video game releases ever. What if it doesn't? So I didn't invest it. We're talking about they invested $6.6 million in just paying players to be in the game. We're not even talking about the millions of dollars they put into they got to pay Kirk Herbstreit and Chris Fowler and all them. They got them in the game, all the voices, everything. They're trying to make this as real of an environment as possible with all the authentic voices and the voices that you love in college football and think of on Saturdays. So they got to pay them on top of what it takes to create a game at the best rate that you can make it is what you're trying to do if you're EA. So why we already millions and millions and millions of dollars in, we'll allocate 6.6. If this game does numbers and is a success and has great reviews 3 or 4 months later, so we could prepare for the next year, man, we might come with $5,000, but our initial offer is we got to wait and see what our return is before we just start handing away money, which is where I'll talk about that. That would lead me into what I'll talk about later. On what really grinds my gears and what's bothering me right now, but like, and where the college football is going to end up going, but you don't know. So don't block your blessing. Cause like, what if you opt out? Cause 600 wasn't enough, but guess what? All this is negotiations. And so now if we up the ante and we're like, hey, it's $5,000, but if you opted out, we have the right to say, no, we not going to have you in the game. You could do that as negotiations. You said no. So like now we're not, now 5,000 is enough. Now you want to say, yeah, no, we're good. Our price was 600 for you. Like they could say that. They could set prices based on what type of player you are.
Yeah. I'm wondering if that's the next phase. Player
to get 10K. If you're a 90 above in the overall, you get 10K. Cause that means you're probably one star players. They'll probably set like an overall changes how much you get paid. That will motivate some of these guys to be, man, if I get an 85 overall, man, I get paid like $5,000 to be in the game, man. That's a different type of motivation as well, but I'm just saying, I think that's a good initial offer. You don't know what they're.
I think the whole point of it is like
$600 don't sound like enough when all these guys are making, these stars are making.
Well, the thing is, like, it all depends on how you look at it. It's like anything with this NIL stuff. Like, you basically have to, like, we're talking about, like, again, everybody all off seasons talked about, you know, whatever the, what the big, you know, 10 programs have done and the money. That's 1% of the player, not even probably 1% of the players. Like, we're talking about 11,000 players, not the 10 that got $1 million, get on high school or whatever. We're talking about 11,000 players. Like, the generalization that, like, oh, all these players getting paid now. Let me tell you something. Indiana's roster ain't all getting paid. You know what I'm saying? Like none of these schools, like Vanderbilt's roster ain't all getting paid. So I think it's fair that they offered, like I said, they offered, hey, here's $600, you know, sign off if you want to, and let's move on with life. Cause that's, you know, that's you got to put your big girl pants on, and that's life. If you don't like it, don't sign. But I like that you have the choice. Like, we're not gonna, you know, but what I think they need to do personally is, if somebody doesn't sign, like, their likeness and whatever likeness they make for that, like, that person can't be in the game. And I don't mean that as against the player. I mean, if the player says, I don't want to be in this game for whatever reason, that's their choice. They shouldn't be in the game, because what they did before was they put all these players in the game and they never ask them. Somebody might have a good reason that they don't want to be in the game, and they shouldn't have to be. So, like, if somebody doesn't sign on, I don't want to see number 85 be exactly like the player that didn't sign on the dotted line, and everybody can just go in and edit the name. Like, if they want to create that player, you can't stop that. But, like, that person just shouldn't be on the roster. So I hope they – kind of like Michael Jordan was. I don't know if you guys remember, before Michael Jordan was in basketball games. Like, he just wasn't there.
Well, Barry Bonds, like, same way too.
Barry Bonds.
Yeah, NBA Jam.
It was always John Dowd. It was always Barry Bonds on the San Francisco, but it was John Dowd.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, I don't want Belichick, too. If somebody says that's not enough money for me, whether it's the best quarterback or whether it's a running back, whether it's some, you know, cat from Bethune-Cookman, I don't want them to put a likeness in the game, but without a name. Like, respect.
Yeah, because they used to have, like, all the numbers, like, the players, and they would be like,
all you had to do is download the roster.
Reggie Bush, number 5, and he's like, he plays just like Reggie Bush, but he wasn't Reggie Bush. But,
yeah,
I mean, people are going to edit the names and all that, which is fine, whatever.
That's fine. If you want to create a player, I can't stop you from that. I used to have to create Michael Jordan. Because here's the thing about the NBA games. The name Jordan was in there, and the name Mike was in there. And I could just put – I could make him 6'6" in North Carolina.
And they could say the name too. Yeah.
I don't want to stop that, but I just don't want to see a dude on the roster without a name, but you know it's that dude. Like,
yeah. Well, yeah, I think that's the opt-in out thing. Is like, you're, if you opt in, we can use your – we can use your – if you're a fast guy, we're going to put you – all that. We can use what you look like in the game and all that. But if you don't opt in – you're not gonna look
exactly
like that. So I think that's what's gonna happen, that's fine. I'm fine with that. That makes sense.
If I don't opt in, you can't use my likeness.
Yes, exactly.
Can't use my name, image.
No. Exactly. That's the whole point. Yeah. So that makes completely sense.
Yeah, I'm with
you. I think we could get in that game, like, at halftime.
I'm going to go
to us at halftime,
and I'm making all of us coaches.
That'd be dope.
We're all going to be coaches, and because I used to do that in 14.
Put me in a sweater vest. That's all I ask. I get a sweater vest.
I'm going to put Jeff's going to be the head coach at Ohio, and see if we can.
Mo,
we can
if you're the head coach on a college football team, what would you wear? What's
your fit? Yeah.
Because here's some of the choices you got. You got the Vrabel windbreaker. Of course, you got the Belichick hoodie. You got the Urban Meyer.
You gonna do a suit?
Urban the old Meyer school? Mock. You got the sweater vest. You got the suit.
Are we serious here?
Yeah. What would you do? All right, we're gonna go in order. Mo, then Jeff, and me.
When I tell y'all my game day attire, y'all know damn well y'all
gonna be coaching.
I'm Dion. Man, I'm in a hoodie.
Oh, okay.
Ohio State hoodie.
You want the social media scrutiny?
Ohio State joggers and Jordans. Now, I might not – I don't wear shades, so you ain't got to worry about the shades. I wear a hat, though. I wear a hat. Like, I'm going to wear a hat because I wear hats. But, yeah, I'm going to be in a hat, a hoodie, joggers, and some Jordans. Calling plates. What am I dressed – why I got to dress up?
I like it.
I'm going to walk in with my Louis Vuitton bag and my –
I like it.
I can see more. And if it's really cold, I'll have the thermal pants under it. I'll still wear the same thing, and I'll just have a bigger coat around my hoodie. I just have a bubble jacket around my hoodie, and that's how I'm going on game day. If I was on the sideline, I might be in basketball. I might be in uniform with the players. I might have a number and everything, and just take on the back.
We're storing the field.
No, quick. Okay, quick note about basketball coaches that I didn't know, and this is sexist as hell, but I didn't realize it. I didn't know how many lovely women coach women's college basketball and like come to the game.
Yeah, Jeff.
Killing it.
Hey, Jeff.
Killing it. I'm just saying. Oh, yeah. I was watching that Tennessee game today.
Hey, Jeff.
Goodness.
It's a few of them now.
My goodness.
Floating around now.
Look Jeff. At college, too. Not college. What was I thinking about?
I was thinking about college basketball coaches. Just now.
I forgot my train of thought. But yeah, no, you're right, though. There's some.
Yeah. All I was saying. Like, I was surprised that, like, the level of attire that I saw on some of the floors. That's all I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm. Hey,
we know you well. We know you at, Jeff. What are you wearing? So what's your fit,
Jeff?
Oh,
I would be straight. Head coach. Straight Jim Tressel. I would be tight and sweaty. Because you know why? I want to look like that. Because this is my man Tressel taught me. Like, let them underestimate you when you walk on that field. They'd be like, ah, look at this honky. Yeah, man, he got sweater vests, call me a dork and all that, and I would cut their fucking hearts out, man. I would love it.
Hey, Chris, I already know who you gonna dress like. I already know who your swag is as a coach. You Robert Sala. You'd be just Sala. Like,
oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like you work out, you run the stairs before the game starts.
Yeah, out there, and you gonna wear a polo, and then you're gonna wear the khakis that go right above your knees. Tuck them in. You gonna wear the Nike. You gonna wear them nice like Nike Vapor Maxes with ankle socks. You
ain't Daniels it. Nah, yeah, I'm not wearing socks. Yeah, I want to show my ankles.
You Robert Sala, man. Your ankles.
If I was in Miami, I would wear no McDaniel, socks. If I'm in New York.
I wear my joggers around the house like Mike McDaniel every Sunday, just so everybody knows.
You gotta have your calves showing. So you gotta have the ankle to calf ratio showing like Robert Sala on stage.
You know that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm doing the solid look.
That's
a solid look, though. That's like you, but you only can get away with that when you're buff. You gotta be buff. You gotta be in shape.
I got the facility right there, so I'll work out. The facility right there. Yeah.
Yo, by the way, speaking of another coach, get
away with that if he's built like Rex Ryan.
Did you all see Patino today in the all white? Woof. Man, that's how you
ever dress since, ever since the coach. You know what? That's goodness. I want to talk about that. Now that you remember that, but Patino.
Pacino. Rick Pacino looked like Al Pacino. Oh, he had his Al Pacino look on today.
If I college basketball coach, I'd have a real thin tie, real tight shirt. Like I would be like
you know what? I'm happy that they got rid of the suits in the NBA. I'm so happy.
Yeah.
A basketball coach does not wear a suit.
He don't need to wear a suit.
You don't need to. God the bubble happens.
Unless you want to.
Oh, my high school coach.
But I think more coaches are like, they like this because I don't think they were happy. Like, imagine you're walking around doing it in a suit. Now you could just wear a polo and some.
Yeah, you know what's crazy? Man, I seen one of the best ever. My high school coach, you know what I'm saying? He was legendary in Georgia before he came to Florida. But like, he was in a suit crispy too, brand new, fresh out the cleaners, never wore the same suit. You know what I'm saying? And he get it dirty too. That coat, can I tell, man, you know how many times I got in trouble for getting his coat dirty because he threw it because of what I did? Huh. Man, practice was hell, but he never wore the same suit ever. Played for him for my first 3 years, and I played JV, and when I was with him on varsity, he never wore the same suit.
You know what I don't like is it's mostly college basketball. Sometimes you see it in football, but like it looks like kind of like that shitty like baseball warm up thing. It almost looks like it's waterproof, but it's short sleeve. Like they wear it a lot, like to warm up for a baseball game. But a coach will wear that. It's got like a look like something you wear for golf. Golf.
It's a baseball thing. Yeah, no.
Looks like a baseball warm up, but like I don't need that on the sideline. We're not wearing. We don't need to be doing that.
I'd be just like Dawn Staley on the sideline, sweatsuit. You know what I'm saying? A whole sweatsuit, and joggers and Jordans, like clean as a whistle, got all the dunks and everything.
That's fair.
What I got to be clean for? Like, I'm coaching. I'm winning games. And Dawn Staley could get it. She can't do that if she's not winning games. She gets you get away with being the swag coach, and they fall in love with that.
She can kind
of
do whatever she wants at this point.
Yeah, like, you know, when you're winning games, it results in winning, especially championships or competing in every year, and you've won one or two yourself. Like, yeah, you get away with. They'd be like, man, I don't really like it, but and she winning. So what can I say? Like, let's not
winning helps any trend. If you win, and people are gonna start doing. If you rocking the Dion and you winning,
yeah.
And hey, people are gonna do that.
Just off of personality, though. Like that's me. Yeah. Man, I'll dress up, bro. Like.
I kind of like the basketball coaches that wear a suit, but like halfway through the game, they're down to just the shirt. And they like got rolled up. I kind of like that. It gives you well, something like you show how angry you are.
Yeah, they wore the emotion on their sleeve for real.
Yes,
like they wore the emotions.
Literally, their emotions on their sleeves.
Like, they are pissed off right now.
I was Tressel one time when I just took that sweater vest off and just threw it at him. Just threw it.
What's Tressel doing nowadays?
Y'all discuss. He's running. I think he's back. He's like president of like Youngstown State or something.
Oh, he's like the man over there. Bro, he's basically a legend at Ohio State and the man at Youngstown State. Like he's.
Oh, yeah. He's the.
Isn't it crazy how him and Larry Coker just like they faded away kind of like these are two champions. I was just thinking about Larry Coker. Somebody mentioned him before.
Yeah.
Him and Tressel just like it's like they won national championship.
Yeah, but Coker had like
yeah, he won with it, Butch Davis guys. I understand, but let's like, I don't know. I was just thinking about someone just mentioned that before. I was talking about that.
Tressel's a legend, bro. They love Tressel, man. Like, blame him for the whole scandal because it wasn't scandal. Wasn't that scandalous, bro? It was players doing NIL stuff. Like it wasn't nothing
agreed. It wasn't even that. They weren't even getting paid.
No, they were just trading it for like tattoos. Like, hey, if you
it was Terrell Pryor, right? He got tattoos and stuff.
It was a bunch of they were giving
stuff that would be okay now. But
yeah, they were like, I'm not going to go down this road because it's February. But here's what the fuck happened: the year before Ohio State beat Oregon, everybody's like, Ohio State will never beat Oregon. Oregon's too fast. Blah blah blah. Ohio State beats Oregon. Everybody's like, The next year, Ohio State beats – everybody forgets how good Arkansas was that year with that Ryan Mallett and Run-C, DMC and all that. Like, Ohio State, now they went to New Orleans and beat an SEC team. All of a sudden, now we're throwing all – just the best players out and your coach for trading shit you own for tattoos. That's weird. That's a weird thing that happened in an offseason all of a sudden. Nah.
Haters, yeah.
Stop it.
It wasn't a big deal. So Jim Tressel, like, he doesn't get, like, it wasn't scandalous. Like, there was no.
At all.
His name, there was no, like, he didn't break no moral codes of he knew about this and it was so morally wrong. He should have said something. Like, he
quit so they could hire Urban Meyer. Yeah. End of story.
He doesn't have, like, it was just easier to walk away. Then, like, what? He ended up sitting for a couple of years, then going to coach at Youngstown State. Like, so
he never coached again.
No, he coached before. That's right. But he was over there as the president. That's what it was. He went.
Yeah, he went. He was like their athletic director and then became president.
Yeah,
and but here's the Tressel. Here, the end of the story is Tressel was going to retire in a couple of years. He had already told everybody. Urban Meyer was in the booth. And they're like, Jim, you got to go so we can hire Urban Meyer. We got a national championship. Rest is history. So fuck everybody that tried to ruin Ohio State when they thought it was one way. And Urban Meyer's like, yeah, watch this. So anyway.
But we're on a college sports thing and all because like, there's not much too much going on.
Yeah, we can stay here.
I want to talk about brands. I want to talk about brand because Indiana basketball came up, because they've been struggling and it seems like they've been on the down for a while, since Bobby Knight, when he was let go, it's really never been the same for them. And I don't know if he'll ever come back to that. So I just wanted to talk about, brands that have huge names, but have been struggling for a while. And can they ever get back to that? So just a couple, if you guys, if they can think of any brands that are big names or were big names back in the 80s, 90s, early 2000s that you think will never ever get that back to, whether it's college football, college basketball, Nebraska. And Nebraska's a good one in football. I think
that's a good one.
Indiana basketball for me, and like I said, I heard someone say this, and I was like, yeah, I mean, they have the fan base, they have the NIL, but it just seems like players are just like, Indiana.
They're cool. Not consistently great year in and year out.
They have they had some years where they're all right, and then they're like this year they're struggling, and now Mike Woodson might be on the chopping block, you know, all that. So it's just like, are they ever going to get it back? So I just want to get your guys, throw a few names, few team names that you feel like, whether it's football, college basketball, that you feel like big names that were either in the past that you feel like, I don't know if they're ever going to get back to that.
No, the Nebraska was good. Somebody to watch, it's way too early to say this, but somebody to watch is USC. Like, as far as a brand, like I'm not, like, I'm saying it could happen. It hadn't been long enough, but
they could get there. Yeah.
It could. I mean, we're almost 20 years from there, from the Matt Leinart days, like almost 20 years. You know what I mean? Like, the time goes by quick. They haven't been a major factor. They haven't made the playoffs yet. Like, USC hasn't made the college football playoffs. Let's just say it out loud. Washington's been there twice.
Yeah.
Michigan State's been there. USC ain't been to college football playoffs. So it's like,
didn't Stanford with Christian McCaffrey go?
No.
No.
Nope.
I thought the only Washington,
right? Oregon and Washington. But that's what I mean. So, like, USC hasn't made the playoffs. It's been 10 years. Ain't made a playoff. So, like, I think they're on the watch list. Nebraska, obviously, especially, you know, considering where they were. I mean, I don't know. At some point, we get, like, Miami's got to, like.
No, they're there.
Like, considering, like, as big as they were in the 80s.
This is the biggest year.
And they're just okay. You know what I mean? Like, they're just okay every year. Like, they're not – nobody's worried about going – like, playing Miami. I'm not saying Miami can't be good again, but nobody's worried.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
The mystique has definitely worn off, yeah, for sure.
UCLA basketball, like, you brought it up earlier.
Yeah,
like,
UCLA basketball.
I don't remember the last time I was like, oh, man, you don't want to play them. Like, you ain't storming the court if you beat UCLA now.
They just went on a run, though. They literally just went on a run.
Like, yeah,
he might go to Louisville. That's how bad UCLA is.
Okay, weren't they just in the Final Four, like national championship, like 2 years ago? Final
COVID
Four?
COVID.
Yeah, he was there.
I'm saying, but as far as a brand, though.
A brand. Yeah, but exactly. Their whole brand has been down since the 90s, right? Mid-90s? Well, you say basketball?
Yeah.
You know, so they're definitely down. Like
when you think college basketball, you think – I mean, in the last, 30 years, I mean, obviously Duke, obviously, you know, Michigan State, North Carolina has maintained.
Kentucky.
But like, yeah, Kentucky. UCLA just hasn't. I mean, Louisville flirts. Like, I know they come up and down, but, like, Louisville flirts with, like, when I was growing up, it was like Louisville, just the word Louisville meant college basketball. And I don't think it means that now.
Well, since Patino left, yeah, that's actually the whole
stuff. I mean, they have some sporadic seasons. Like, having a decent season every now and then is one thing, but like
they're down bad right now. Louisville, yeah.
Like what I'm saying, like right now, let's look at like Alabama. We'll say football, like Alabama football, Ohio State football, Georgia football. Georgia, like, football. If you got to go play them, no matter what, you're like, we're concerned.
Georgia,
you have no idea.
Georgia not there though. Like, I guess they there now the past 2 to 3 years, but like overall,
I see it's early. It's early. I totally agree. But not, even like Florida football at this moment, Florida football, just the name of it, like people are like, oh, I got to go to Florida and play. Like, there's now, still,
but they could be there too, though. Jeff. Like USC.
I ain't gonna lie. Florida hadn't. I mean, we
go on. That's what I'm saying.
About 15 years. Like,
but we're talking about like
irrelevant. They went on some, like, Florida was a brand to the point they ain't hitting the same either.
Totally, they're right at the edge, but that's what I'm saying. They're still hanging on to just the brand.
They're still hanging on to the two national championships for the basketball team.
Yeah. If somebody says they're playing Florida or they beat Florida. Up
on that time where we about to stop thinking about them.
I agree.
Yeah. Like,
they're on the edge.
Football coach.
USC's on life support. USC's on watch. Florida's on watch. Texas,
I think Notre Dame's on watch in football too. Now that all these conferences, yeah, like if Notre Dame continues to try and stay independent in the midst of all these TV deals and who's really running the money, and people start, the minute somebody try and shun NBC and Notre Dame to the side, because they'd be like, you know what, if you're not going to be with this over here at CBS and ABC and what we got with Disney, then get going. Notre Dame can easily get irrelevant very quick. Like,
that's a good one.
I know they be pretty good, and I know they have some games, especially throughout these past few years, where it's like big time games that you remember, like, oh, Notre Dame plays, so you turn the TV on. But like, I very well could see them, like, they haven't won enough, so they're hanging on by a thread too.
You mean since they haven't won a national championship in like 35 years?
But they haven't even like they haven't been. When's the last time they've been to a playoff? Have they been to a playoff?
Yeah, they got thumped about six years ago.
Yeah. So they've been to a playoff, but like that was a sporadic year. Outside of that, they're a team that we know is really good and is never going to get over the hump. And you can
every time they get to the championship, like, then they play Alabama in 09 when
they got blown out. I get it. But at the same time, like when you're Notre Dame and you're hanging on for like your MO is like you win a lot of games, but you don't win the big ones, and then you don't want to get with. I
think that's fair.
Conference war that's going on, and you want to stay loyal to NBC, like you and NBC might be on the back burner for college football and be irrelevant as a brand. Like, because I think both of those brands are keeping each other relevant right now, and that's why NBC and Notre Dame is why Notre Dame is able to stay independent and why NBC doesn't have to throw billions of dollars at any of these conferences to try and get them on NBC, because Notre Dame keeps them there. But the minute these schools and everybody look at Notre Dame and be like, "Nah, we got to keep you up out of this in our money." Notre Dame,
Let's flip it now. Let me flip it, because who's a sleeping giant? Who's a school in either college basketball, college football, who's like just a moment away from Georgia? Just they just need the right coach, and boom. Not essentially Georgia, like they're going to be down, but like a school that's like, "Hey, man, if they, you know, they're just a coach or whatever away from they could do something special." Like, is there Wisconsin? Because the change of college style football.
Luke Fickle,
yeah.
College football, Wisconsin. I know the Big Ten's getting loaded, but
Oregon.
We're gonna hit the world where you be a 3-loss team and can make a playoff in some years. And there's gonna be years where that holds a lot of advantage to Wisconsin. Because a 9-3 would be uberly successful, and if they beat the right amount of beat the right teams on their schedule that year, they sneak into a playoff. Like, they could become a sleeping giant, even if all they are is they're a borderline playoff team every year. They become that sleeping giant because those teams pop 1 year and go 11-1 and win their conference, and that's what I think Wisconsin could be, a sleeping giant of like a couple years of just that borderline. They might make the playoffs, they might not. They might give Ohio State a good game, they might not. And then, but they're in that 9-3, 8-4, even 7-5. And then like they hit 9-3 consistently for 3 years. And then they just pop to 11-1 and in the Big Ten championship. And you're like, yep, that's sleeping giant. And then they go back, but they stay afloat at that 9-3. And that 9-3 could put you in the playoffs consistently.
You know what I think in college basketball? Ohio State, me and Kev talked about this on our pod all the time. We're like, we keep saying they're a coach away from being an elite college basketball team.
It's ridiculous that they're not. It's actually
and it's crazy that they're not already. It's
embarrassing that they're not a good program.
They're the right coach away from being an elite Big Ten basketball team. And you just gotta find that right guy.
That Matt had us there. I know we got Todd. Like
he showed it, right? He had the blueprint.
Once a coach gives you, as good as Thad Matta was, when that's what he gives you every sooner or later, and as he's getting older, you're like, all right, there's got to be something new. Like, let's get younger. Let's try. And we went that route. Obviously, it wasn't as successful, but like, yeah, we need a coach. Like, that's it.
Ohio State.
Like, how is the number three player in the country not considering Ohio State? It's an absolute
embarrassment.
Like, why are you not a program like that? I mean, even Bama has gotten like top recruits in the country. Like, and even though they've been
Rutgers basketball has the number two recruiting class in the basketball. You can't get jumped as Ohio State in basketball by Rutgers. That is unacceptable.
Not when you're talking about prolific and getting star recruits. Like, nah, you can't. Rutgers can't sit there and have the number two class while you're sitting there like you're looking for, hoping that you get the right
terrible. Pick.
hiring you.
Yeah, I agree. That's a good call.
And that's a terrible.
Me and Kev been saying it. I'm like, yo, Ohio State is the right coach away from Duke. And Chris Holtmann was, you know, he came, I think he came from Butler and all that. He started off good, but for whatever reason, just couldn't find.
The problem is Ohio State doesn't need a basketball coach. They need a dude. They need a CEO. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure Holtmann's a great eighth grade basketball coach. Like, that's we don't.
He's need a good low level. Jeff, he's a good mid.
100%. I don't need you to teach me how to dribble. School. I need you to go out there and get $1 million in the pocket of the best player in the country and get me a national championship. I need Carmelo Anthony. I don't need a fourth year senior.
Oh, you know what's crazy?
I need Kevin Durant.
25-8 his first year at Ohio State, and every year it's just been like 19 wins, 20 wins, 19 with 20. That's not even, I know Ohio State is not, their basketball is number two, clearly, but they're still standing. It's like, hey, man, yeah, you're all right for us.
Here's what's
like,
crazy about
we need people, somebody that's going to take us because we're right there. We could break through.
What people don't know about Ohio State basketball, like if you're not around here, is like even at number two, like they're not even number two to Ohio State football. Like Ohio State, you know, off season is number two to Ohio State football. The spring game is number three. Here's the thing though. Even at number, like we'll say Ohio State basketball is number five. They still have more fans, more money, more everything than every other, you know, team in the country. Like all the built-in advantages are ginormous. And there's so many Ohio State fans. Like everybody's like, oh, they're number two to football. Yeah, but football has the most fans, literally the most fans in the world. Yeah. So if 10% of them fans are fans of Ohio State basketball, they still have more fans than almost every team in the country. Like everybody acts like nobody cares. Like, trust me, we care about Ohio State basketball. We just don't care as much as we do about Ohio State
football. You just got to get back to that standard because then in the late 2000s into the early 2010s, you guys were winning 30 games a year.
Oh, that's crazy.
And that was like, oh, who has the best basketball football program? Like, is Ohio State? Is it Florida and all that? And you want to get back to that standard where you're winning. Like, we're winning 25. We're in the top three in the Big Ten and all that. We're battling Purdue and all that.
Yeah. I mean, we won national championships.
You can beat them.
Ohio State won two national championships like last week.
Yeah.
Like their sports program, like is off the charts. They are good.
So I think, me and Ken talk about it all the time. Basketball is a sleeping giant. I think Ohio State, they get the right coach because Dad Mata, he did it. They won 30 games. Yeah. He showed guys, you can get top five recruits to go there. If, like I said, if South Carolina, if Georgia basketball, if Rutgers basketball is getting them, then it's there. Yeah. So you just got to find the right dude there. But that's I think Ohio State is a sleeping giant. You know, as far as, you know, in basketball, and then you could really take over, you know, once Vrabel is the head coach at Ohio State.
We're about that next year.
But yeah, there's some good, but it's crazy how some brands that like, they're just like Nebraska's never going to get back. It's over.
Probably not.
It's just, you know, and maybe what's his face is taking over. What's his name again? Matt Rhule took over. He maybe can make it exciting a little bit, but
honestly, worried about Matt Rhule.
Nobody is really tripping over
Chris. There's not enough old white people alive left for Nebraska to get back and be relevant. Like it was back in the day.
That era, and they're not cool. It's not cool.
No, because you know why? Because they all dead and gone. Yep. If you see a 90-year-old white man with a Nebraska hat, man, I'll tell you two things.
And you know what? I bet he hated Tommy Frazier. He just won't tell anything.
He don't like black people, and he a veteran. He the Vietnam or war.
They don't like Dylan Raiola right now.
No. Like
I'm gonna say a little more subtle. They're more. I'll say it this way. I won't even go so far as say they don't like. I'll just say they're really uncomfortable around black people.
Yeah, and
is that a better? Is that a softer way to say it?
And they're a World War II or Vietnam vet. On top of
it. Unless they run any option, then they're on board then.
And triple option.
Weird how that works.
We're gonna play the 4-6 bear defense.
Yeah, like
we're bringing back Tom Rathman.
Like it's just not cool. Like Nebraska just and their fan base really is loyal and crazy, like it, but it's just not
cool. They're insane.
Like their fans, they love but like they're just from a national standpoint, like you can't sell me on Nebraska, period.
Nah,
like,
It's a hard sell. So that'll be tough for Matt Rhule to try to get them No, and I'm like I said, USC could be there. I think we'll see. We'll see what happened the next few
years. USC had the best player in the country for 2 years and didn't do squat. That's all I'm saying out loud. Yeah, the best player. Let Ohio State have Caleb Williams last year
in the Pac-12 too. Where just like let them. Yeah. It's crazy. There's just certain programs just not going to get back.
And Alabama have Caleb Williams last year. What's it look like?
They won a championship. They almost could have won a national championship this year. Like they almost beat Michigan. Like you know all that. I don't know. I feel like with Miami, like I still feel like there's still some cool left. So they're not like old and raggedy like Nebraska fans are.
They close.
You know, so
they're close.
To me, they're either close or they're going to be really far.
This year
will tell a lot. They're close or whether
they're close to falling off hard, flat on
it. Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. They're either close to maybe getting cracking through or this year or we're going to go back and it's like
they're gonna go way back because like bro the kids in Florida do not care about going to Miami like that bro the U is not the same no more like really if you want me to be honest really none of the Florida schools are selling points to Florida kids at all they are not growing up wanting to go to Florida State or Miami anymore like they did or like people my age did because you
my age
the 90s my age, and 2000s they was hot they all three of them brands were smoking but now like bro a lot of Florida guys are going out of state. Cause like,
why is that though? You're from Florida, so you can do better than me.
I think it's winning. Here's my opinion.
Is it just the winning?
A lot of it is because
they're not winning anything.
I think a lot of it's just because of how good. I think it's going to be interesting. We'll leave this for. I know we got to go. We'll think about this for next week. I think Saban leaving, it'll be interesting to see the impact it has on schools in the geographical area. Yeah. Because so many kids, like, I'm going to go ahead and try out Alabama. I'm going to go ahead and try out Georgia. I'm going to go ahead and try out LSU. Like, it only takes a couple of them kids to stay in Florida. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, we're great again. Like, so it'll be curious, like, the next year, two seasons, if it changes just because of the Saban shift.
It could. I think it could.
I think
we look at USC. Pete Carroll left USC, immediately changed. Immediately, overnight. Like Michigan with Harbaugh, like it's going to change. I'm not even sitting here saying they're going
to. No, you're right. It is going to
change. But it changed immediately.
Michigan going 500 next year wouldn't surprise you.
Like it would. Yeah, no.
But like,
as long as they lose one.
But it's crazy because like in the 2000s, those three of those schools were the shit.
Yep.
Like they had their fourth stringers were a bunch of going to be pros and all that, and it's just crazy how like it just. Like that happened. And like, yo, Florida went fine. Miami.
Yeah, look at Florida. Urban Meyer leaves. Florida's done.
Done.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, people underestimate what it's like
coach matters, man. Coach matters.
Yeah. Like the coach, the program, all that shit matters. Like, Urban Meyer leaves. Done. Like, let's not act like Saban leaving doesn't immediately affect Alabama. It's crazy to think that. The only team that's been able to survive it sort of so far is Ohio State. They've went through – this is their third coach, and they're still at the top. It's honestly pretty impressive.
You know why Ohio State survived it, though? And I say this. Ohio State survived it because they've always had a plan. When Tressel left
– Ryan Day ain't a plan.
I'm saying –
he's a fucking clown.
They knew Urban Meyer. They knew Urban Meyer was going to come, and so they stuck Luke Fickell in there, give him a little head coaching job.
Oh, yeah.
Race the suck, go 6-6. Okay, that's 1 year. Boom, the next year we go undefeated. We just couldn't play in a bowl game. That's the only reason we didn't go to the national championship. Couldn't
play in a bowl game.
Because
somebody who owned something gave it to somebody else and got a tattoo. That's why Ohio State couldn't play for a national championship.
Yeah.
Like I forgot.
Anybody that doesn't like NIL or the transfer portal, you can fuck off because that was not better.
Ohio State went undefeated that year with
the got me wound up in February. I'm so mad.
Number one offense in the country and could not play in a bowl game because of the suspension.
Because of people that weren't there. Anyway, you got me fired up in February. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, no, but it's crazy. I still, every day, I'm like, how do Florida schools. How are they irrelevant? And
they might be. You know what? Though I think they were honestly an injury away though from having a shot at it last year. That's the truth. Florida State was right there. Florida, yeah. I don't know. Florida got some. Florida and Miami.
I think Florida's in the worst spot of all three. Florida's in a
because they're in a spot where they're going to they could end up firing another coach and then not making the right hire very well. They very well could not make the right hire.
And they play in Georgia's division. That doesn't help right now.
Yeah. They're in the SEC too. Like, it's Florida's in rough shape. And it's crazy how, like, we just talked about, they were literally like the talk of college football at one point. And Urban leaves, and like everything, like you said, there's no plan. Mo, that's why Ohio State is relevant. They had a plan. Like, all right, yeah, we lost Jim Trestle, but all right, we got this, and boom, and you're still relevant. It seemed like Florida with Miami and Florida State, and now they bounced.
But you gotta have the resources too. Like, it's easy for
Ohio they don't State have to the resources.
That's what I'm saying. Like, resources. Ohio State's just easy
because, like, here's the thing, bro. Like, Florida
too. Like, that's an easy sell too.
No, it's not. I'm telling you.
I wouldn't know.
Growing up in Florida, I'm telling you, they rode irrelevance, and I watched it. Like, I watched it firsthand. Because the first part of my life, all the way up till I was 13, Florida was hot shit. They was good in the 90s. They was good. They beat Ohio State in 06. I had to hear about it. They won another national championship. Like, they won two more. Like, you had to hear about it. They had a Heisman Trophy. And then after Tebow and Meyer and them left, Florida fans just slowly, it just, Florida stopped, irrelevant, just felt crashed and burned. Florida fans don't even care about the Gators as much as they used to. You don't hear them talk about it. Florida kids are not putting Florida in their top five like that. They don't really care. They entertain it just to have a Florida school to give some hope of loyalty to my hometown state. They don't grow up and wanting to play for the Gators anymore. You got to think about it. These kids that are about to be 18, these 15, 16, 17-year-old kids that are getting offered, they was just born when Tim Tebow was winning national championships. A 15-year-old kid was born in 09. Like, if a guy who turns 15 was born in 2009. Like, Tim Tebow and them weren't winning championships no more after that. It's not the relevant brand no more. Like, you ain't – Florida sucks since these kids have been alive. It's not the same.
But the right coach can get them back, and that's why it's important.
Well, that goes for any school, though.
But those schools especially. Those schools especially.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Oh, that's what I mean. Any of the programs. Brands
can, a simple right head coach, like a guy to go play for. I mean, Kirby Smart go to the Florida, leave Georgia and go to Florida. Like, they go.
They would get better instantly.
And Georgia was Georgia, like, they had a good – Mark Rick was a solid coach, but they're like, this isn't good enough. 9 wins, 10 wins, you know, getting to the SEC championship and losing by 20 is not good enough. We got to find that dude to get this. We're a sleeping giant. And boom, they got the right guy. And boom, now look at them. Yeah. Like, they arguably could have won, you know, three in a row and all that.
Should have won.
It's crazy. It's I always find it interesting, and I always try to find.
I'll never forgive Georgia for this season or last season.
You know, especially last season and all that. But, you know, we talked a lot of college football. That's another episode of before we left, we're going to do the usual. What's on our minds? Mo, Jeff, what's on your mind right now?
I'm not going to go on too much of a tangent, but I just want to say in 3 to 5 years, people are going to be very upset, right? Because one of two things are going to happen with NIL. The money's going to run dry, or the NIL investors are now going to end their NIL contracts. If we give you $2 million, we are going to want 2% of your rookie earnings if you make it to the NFL. These investors are going to want to start protecting their investment. So if I'm giving you $3 million to come to this school and that money's not being reciprocated to me back somehow, some way, we are now, if we want to turn college football into a business, we will now turn it into a business. And we are going to have these clauses where we get 2% of your earnings and your rookie contract, or we get 5% of your entire professional career, or we get a 10% of your signing bonus the minute you sign on the dotted line as a first round pick. You're either going to see that, or you're going to stop seeing all these players be millionaires because the money run dry, because all these millionaires right now, bro, they're just handing out free money. Like, right now, they're essentially, it's a bunch of millionaire and multi-millionaires and billionaires sitting in a conference room, seeing who can make the biggest donations to keep their team and keep their programs relevant. They're not getting their money back. And at some point, millionaires are going to be tired of giving millions of dollars. So either they're going to get a protecting their investment and get the money they reciprocate back by them making pro, being professionals, or we're just not going to give as much money. And now everything is going to be, we'll give you $20,000 for a commercial. We'll give you $5,000 in a new Camaro for this commercial or whatever it may be. And it'll go to finally what NIL is supposed to be. That's why I think in 3 to 5 years, it's going to be NIL is going to be exactly what it was supposed to be now. And these guys are making thousands of dollars and kind of make it $80,000 to $100,000 and make good paying jobs playing college football. Like everybody, like good paying average everyday workers, or these contracts are going to get real sticky and people are going to hate it because these investors are going to want to protect their investment and want that money reciprocated later. So they're going to be like, we want 2% of your rookie contract earnings or 10% of your signing bonus when you sign on the dotted line. So might want to be careful in which way they might want to fix NIL and make it what it was meant for now before it gets that route. Cause people are going to get real mad when business becomes real in college football and all these people get to being allowed to legally be shiesty again, like the NCAA has been for years.
Yeah, right. That's well said. That's very good. I like it. And I think you're right. I think you're right about all of it. And basically the same way I keep saying, like, college sports is dead for the same reason. College sports is dead. Enjoy it now. It's done. It's
because if you don't give me a national championship, like, that's just to close out, like, yeah. if I'm giving Caleb Downs $3 million to transfer to Ohio State and we done put $15 million in the pot and got all these players and, like, y'all aren't bringing me national championships, like, what am I paying for as an alumni? Right. I know I got millions of dollars, so, like, my pride in sitting in this room with all these other millionaires and billionaires that used to go to Ohio State, yeah, my pride is going to sign the checks. But at some point, all of y'all are going to start having that feeling.
You can't do it forever.
Elephant in the room and be like, yo, like.
But that's a good thing. That's
going to turn into gold and rings. And, yeah. And these people, these donors, when they win national championships, just wait. These donors are going to start getting rings and being on that field too. You think they probably ain't going to be known giving these guys millions of dollars? Man, they're going to start getting rings and everything too. It's going to happen. It's going to turn into a business and people are going to hate it. So you better fix out the business stuff now before it turns into a business that you absolutely hate.
That's good. I like that. My biggest thing this week is, and it happens a lot, it's kind of weird. Stop telling me I can't criticize hockey. It's the funniest thing. So, like, earlier, like, we got done with the NBA All-Star game. Like, all we hear about the NBA, don't play defense. They suck. They blah, blah, blah. It's not like it used to be. Blah, 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 blah. Go ahead and bring up one criticism of hockey. People get so defensive. They're so protective of it. There was a game the other night. They scored like 17 goals in the game, right? And I went, yeah, there ain't no defense in hockey anymore. Woo! You want to talk about people getting fired up. Tell them there ain't no defense in hockey. And the first thing they say is, oh, did you watch a game? I'm like, exactly. So, like, just leave people's sports alone. If you ain't watching, you have no idea what's going on. Like, respect the game and all that. Hockey ain't changed. Basketball ain't changed. Like, you know, don't quit watching SportsCenter and deciding the future of a sport. Quit looking at the scoreboard and telling me you know everything about a sport. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know anything about hockey, but I'm just saying, like it's not any more protected. So
put it on a t-shirt. You know. That I was going to say that about basketball too. That was kind of my thing. Like, if you're going to complain, just don't watch. Like, I'm tired of people complaining. Oh, there's no difference. All-star game. Blah, 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 blah. Shut up. Stop it.
You got up at 6 a.m. and watch SportsCenter. Fuck off.
You're going to watch the game next week. You're going to watch it the week out. You're going to watch the playoffs. You're going to watch the NBA finals. You're going to watch the Super Bowl. You're going to watch the World Series. You're going to watch whatever. You're going to watch it. Let's stop complaining. Let's just stop complaining about everything with sports. It's not like it used to be. Yeah, because it's evolved. Yeah. But it's like that with anything. Movies, music people complain about. Oh, it's not better than the 90s. It's like, bro, there's some things that were bad in the 90s. I deal with wrestling. It's crazy how people are just, they talk, oh, this, bro, shut up. Like, guys were fucking, you know, Hulk Hogan won with a leg drop. And he was, you know, so it's like we don't appreciate the athleticism and all that. It's always hating. Everything is hate this day. Oh, no. Like, somebody was complaining about Wentman. Yeah, oh, he would have lasted in the 90s and all that. I was like,
but he ain't playing in the 90s.
He's not playing in the 90s. So who
would have scored 87 points a game in the 90s.
Oh, like LeBron. Oh, so no, somebody said that. Steph Curry. I couldn't play it. I was like, bro, he'd be cooking these guys.
John Stockton is the career leader.
John Stockton trying to guard. Hey, get that out of here.
6'1", 165, soaking wet out the shower. Yeah. So Steph Curry would be.
Steph would have rocked the 90s. Oh, you know what is better
LeBron,
now?
LeBron James could have lasted the 90s because
my final thought is something that is better now is women college basketball coaches. Really having a great era. Women college basketball coaches.
That's the number one thing we took out of this is Jeff loves women's college basketball and the coaches. Put that on a t-shirt. Yep. But that's going to end it for another OG3 on the Off the Ball Network. You know, appreciate you guys for joining today. Appreciate everyone who tuned in and all that. We'll be back better than ever next week. One more thing, Off the Ball Network, if you haven't heard, we got a new sponsor, BetMGM, the new sponsor of the Off the Ball Network and all that. So we'll have more details on, you know, everything as far as promo codes, all the things going on with that. So just wanted to give that a plug and all that. We'll have all those details as soon as I get them to you guys. But that's Mo. That's Jeff. I'm Chris, Off the Ball Network. Make sure you check out all the good work that everyone does there. Check out the website, all that. OG3, we out.
Peace.